space back in our house. Praise the Lord. And we are excited tonight that Sister Shirley is back, and she's going to be leading a Bible study. We're going to have her come up.
Well, praise the Lord. I must say it's pretty wonderful to be back. Oh my, it's something like, wow, there for a while I didn't know what was going on and what would be down the road, but thank God he's been so good. He's been so wonderful to us. And I'm just so thankful we have this privilege. Oh yes, we thank God for what he's done and what he's going to do. And, you know, as I just begin here tonight, we'll pray in a few moments. But, you know, there's been some miracles here with Brother Tim. You know, he was very ill. And at first he was in the Beaver Dam Hospital. And then they realized that he needed more help than they could give him here at this local hospital. So they flew him up to Marshfield, Wisconsin, there by helicopter. And yes, he was in ICU. He was in ICU for 9 days. And they did a surgery there. They did find out where the pocket of infection was. It was a lower part of his spine. And therefore, they did surgery in that area. And, you know, it was a little rough. They really had him sedated after he came out of the surgery. They had him tremendously sedated, so, you know, you couldn't tell what was going on exactly. And it was around that time, it was after the surgery, and the doctor there in ICU just said to me as I was leaving, he said, Tim's a very sick man, and I don't like those words by any means. And, you know, I knew what that could imply. And so there, I was staying there in a local American, and that night I sought the Lord just fervently. And it was so amazing because, and I thank God, I know so many of you were praying for him, and just thank God for all your love and care and the gifts that some of you sent and oh, just beautiful things that just showed how much you care and the effects of your prayers, so very beautiful. But, you know, it was so amazing because, you know, I've been told Tim was so very sick. And lo and behold, I think it was the next day, I get over to the hospital and I go to the third floor where ICU was, and they tell me he's not here. And lo and behold, he had been moved up to the seventh floor, room 717. And, you know, it was so amazing because, you know, they had taken out the points there where they would have done dialysis there and everything else, and you know, he was coherent and so much better. Though I know that first day after getting out of the ICU, he slept a lot, and the nurse said, well, he probably didn't get much sleep down there in ICU. So much noise and confusion and boy, close to the nurse's station and everything else. But thank the Lord, that was just a wonderful thing, just a wonderful thing, you know, having been told that he was so ill and then finding him upstairs on the seventh floor. And you know, ever since that point, he's been mending. He's been getting so much better. And for quite a while, they were talking about, you know, getting him over to a rehab and different areas being considered. And it was yesterday, and actually, I was talking to Brother Tim on the telephone, and actually, a woman came in. She was a representative from a rehab in Wausau, Wisconsin, and, you know, she was saying that they had availability there, and it's a very wonderful place from what she was describing. A lot of people from various parts of the country and maybe even around the world come to that particular rehab, and she was describing it. It sounded really, you know, pretty good, except, well, Wausau's quite a long ways away from Beaver Dam. So anyway, you know, it was something that definitely could be considered, and I mean, it sounded good. You know, you want good care for, you know, people you care for, and anyway, that was definitely a possibility, it seemed. But later that day, another phone call, and lo and behold, they had reconsidered taking Timothy back here in Beaver Dam. And I mean, I had just been praying, Lord, you know where he needs to go, and I pray that it wouldn't be so out of the way and so difficult to get to, and you know, Madison isn't too far, but oh my, traveling in Madison isn't always the funnest thing either, especially if you have to go around the Beltline and so on. And you know, Milwaukee certainly would have been something else. And you know, just, Lord, please work it out. And it was so amazing because, yeah, that phone call came and they had reconsidered taking Tim right here in Beaver Dam and said there was availability. So praise the Lord. It looks like someday soon, I hope it's this week. It seems like things move slowly. But anyway, by the grace of God, it looks like he's going to be moved to Beaver Dam. And wow, it's going to be so much easier for all of us. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord. Yes, God has worked in amazing ways. And praise the Lord. By his grace and mercy, I do believe, and I know you are believing too, that Brother Tim is going to make a full recovery. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. You can see the hand of the Lord and his great help, his wonderful help, and the answered prayers. I know the Lord has helped me. I know many of you are praying that God would give me the strength and help me not to get sick and all those wonderful things. And one day, I don't know what it was, but I really didn't feel well. I was having pain in my back. And this is something that isn't, you know, I don't usually have pain in my back. But anyway, I was able to make some contacts. Sister Penny happened to email me and was talking about a prayer request list that she was working on. And I said, well, please, could you pray for me too? I'm just not feeling too good at the moment. And you know, it was so amazing because I laid down for a while there in the motel. And lo and behold, when I awakened, I had no more pain in my back. So praise the Lord. God has been good. He is an answering God. And we are so privileged to be his children, to be able to call upon him. Oh my, yes, to have, oh yes, that line to Jesus. And praise the Lord, I just thank God. You know, you go through these trials, but you know, they are opportunities to see the hand of the Lord, to see miracles, and to see, oh my, what God may do beyond what we ever imagined. Praise the Lord. He uses such. And by his grace and mercy, he helps us to get through such times, such trials, such tests. Praise the Lord. And we're so privileged. Amen. We can call upon the creator of the universe, the one who made us, the one who loved us so much that he came to this earth to die for us. Oh, yes, so that, oh, we could have eternal life through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for what you've done. We thank you that you are that very present help in trouble, Lord. And oh God, sometimes it's just uttering your name. Sometimes it's just saying Jesus, and oh yes, you honor it. And oh God, you hear us. And oh God, you know how to make a way. You know how to turn things around, oh God. And there is no limit to your ability and to your power, to your greatness. And oh God, if we could just believe, oh God, you know how to do the rest. And we thank you again. We thank you for this privilege. I thank you for everyone that's online. I pray that you would bless them and use them. I pray, oh Lord, that you would use this message, that you'd give me the words, the authority, the ability, and the anointing, Lord. I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. I pray, O Lord, that you lead this Bible study, Lord. I pray that you would minister to our hearts. I pray, O Lord, that you'd help us, O God, to be the people that you have ordained us to be, Lord. O God, the called out church of the living God, Lord, the ecclesia. I pray that you would strengthen us. O God, I pray that you would give us faith. O God, I pray that you'd give us determination, Lord. And O God, I pray by the grace of God, there would be no turning back, Lord. But O God, we would keep our eyes focused on the goal and that which you have set before us, that we could run this race with patience, O Lord, and that we could endure until the end. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. I pray that you'd be with each and every one of your people. Lord, give us the faith that we need. Oh, God, the strength that we need. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, to, oh, God, do the work that you have called us to do. And we thank you, praise you. The devil have no place here. We rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Ask, oh, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Oh, Lord, have free course, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, a month ago, or whenever that was, when I last taught, I was teaching from 2 Thessalonians, and we had started this series, I called it, They Turned the World Upside Down, and anyway, I hadn't quite finished, you know, everything got stopped before I could finish 2 Thessalonians, so guess what? We're going to go back and just see how the Lord might just put it all together here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. So we're going to go again to 2 Thessalonians and just see how the Lord's going to lead us here tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to say, and this had been a point that was emphasized, this church at Thessalonica was a church that was born out of tribulation. And they were just new in the Lord when trouble broke out, tremendous trouble. But you know, I know Paul obviously had his concerns for this very young church. And we see those concerns expressed in 1 Thessalonians. But praise the Lord, he had sent Timothy to check on these dear folks, as he was not able to do it personally at that moment. And you know what? It came back as a good report. And these people were still serving the Lord, and they were still faithful. And that was just so reassuring. It must have been so wonderful to Brother Paul, who obviously loved these people so dearly. And I just see, you know, in his expressions, how much care he put into this church. And you know, it's one thing to bring people to the Lord, and it's so exciting. You just say, I want to see that again. You know, it's so beautiful to see people turn their lives around to the Lord Jesus. But oh my, you know, there is another concern, because we want to see people grow. We don't want to see them fall by the wayside and give up and forsake the Lord and you know, forget what God has done for them. But oh, it's a beautiful thing to see people grow in the Lord. And so I can understand Brother Paul's concerns in those matters. And thank God, this was a church that it seems was doing really quite well. Oh yeah, there were some minor things that had to be worked out, as I believe that's true of all of us. You know, we come to the Lord as newborn babes. And then, oh my, there's a need that we would grow thereby, you know, and come to a point. It's sometimes referred to as perfection in the Gospels, and you know, meaning that we come to a point of maturity in the Lord Jesus, and you know, a place where we're solid, where we're standing on the rock, and you know, we're instrumental at that point as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as an example, as an ambassador of his kingdom. So that's a wonderful thing. But oh yes, as just mentioned, this church at Thessalonica, it came out of tribulation. Just right away, it just hardly established there in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. And you know, Paul had been there, he'd gone to this city of Thessalonica. It was quite an important city there. It had some very strategic connections there. It was one of the four divisions in Macedonia, and there was this road. It was called the Great Road, and it connected that whole Aegean Sea area to Rome. So it was very strategic, and of course it was a wonderful place for the gospel to make connections for the sake of the gospel, praise the Lord. So here it is in that city where, you know, Paul had gone and you know, he went into the synagogue, as was his pattern initially, and he spent three Sabbath days there reasoning basically with the Jews out of the scriptures, and you know, his point being that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. In other words, Christ, the anointed one. Christ meaning anointed one, and you know, referring to the Messiah that they all were looking forward to. So here he is in the synagogue, and it tells us in the 17th chapter of Acts, in the 4th verse, that some of these Jews did believe, and they consorted with Paul and Silas. And of course, this is, by the way, Paul's second missionary journey here, and by consorted, it means that they kept some association with Paul and Silas, and I imagine there are questions and you know, desires on their path and you know, so on. So, you know, that was good. But also there were a great multitude, it tells us, of devout Greeks, and of the chief women of that city, many, not a few, it tells us, who became believers. And you know, the Jews could not seem to stand this. And before we know it, the unbelieving Jews are moved with envy, and they took people, they found some of those lewd fellows, it describes them as in verse 5, of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and pretty soon you had a riot, you had an uproar going on in this city of Mesopotamia. And they went to the house of Jason. I think this is quite likely where Paul and Silas had been staying, but they were not there. And they came to the house of Jason. They were seeking to bring Paul and Silas, particularly, I would think, out to the people. And they were not found, it tells us in verse 6. So they took Jason and certain other brethren into the rulers of the city, and this was their cry. It's so interesting. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Can you imagine? Oh yes, just these few Christians, oh my, just obeying the gospel and going forth and having faith and believing God. Oh, praise the Lord. They set the whole city in uproar, and oh yes, oh, I'm sure the Lord was working in amazing ways. What comes with God's working, it is the salvation of souls, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, signs and wonders, and all those amazing things that begin to happen. And oh my, here they were accused by these Jewish people who went to the rulers and were crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And so he obviously, it says, whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, even Jesus. Tells us, and their accusation, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So, you know, their accusations, you know, their claims, it caused trouble. It caused, you know, doubts and fears to manifest. And pretty soon, I suppose, you know, people that were believers, you know, or beginning to believe, perhaps, had some problems. But oh my, they took security of Jason and another, and then they let them go, it tells us in verse 9. And then the brethren, realizing what was going on, they sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. And there Paul and Silas went to a synagogue in Berea. But oh my, yes, all this trouble there because, Paul and Silas were bringing the gospel to Thessalonica, and the Lord was working in an amazing way, and obviously there were a great deal of believers that were coming to the fold. And, you know, it was something. Paul was not able to stay there at any length of time. And that would be the hope. After you bring people to the Lord Jesus, then you would like to see them established in the truth. But this was, you know, something that they were not able to fulfill at this point because they had to very abruptly leave because of the trouble that broke out in Thessalonica. But you know, these are new Christians knew something therefore about persecution. And as we were studying in 1 Thessalonians, that very first chapter, we realized that this church, this fledgling church, you know, knew what persecution was, even very early in their faith. But praise the Lord, you know, the Lord used it. The Lord used it. You know, no one likes trouble. And oh, yes, our human tendency, of course, is to avoid it. But Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Oh, praise the Lord, and oh yes, how that helps us. You know, Jesus warned too that by serving him, taking up our cross, and following him, that yes, there could easily be trouble in our lives. If we just glance for a moment at Matthew in the 10th chapter, it tells us, if we go to verse 32, and I'm going to start with verse 31. Verse 31 says, "Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." So here we see the very clear details that, oh, it's so necessary in our hearts that we stand up for the Lord Jesus, that we stand up for this truth. Oh yes, that it be embedded in our hearts. And oh yes, be willing to confess our faith before men. Because if we do, then Jesus will confess us before his Father, which is in heaven. And of course, in Luke the 12th chapter, very similar passage there, but it says before the angels there that Jesus would confess us. But on the other hand, if we can't stand up, if we can't be true, if we deny our faith, if we deny Jesus Christ, then he, Jesus Christ, is going to deny us before his Father, which is in heaven, before Almighty God. And of course, Jesus is God. And praise the Lord, yes, you know what a day that will be when we see him in his fullness. But he goes on to say in verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And here he's talking, you know, where everything is cozy, you know, where relationships are, you know, get alonging, well, where everything goes well, shall I say, and you get along, you know, one with another, and there's just no trouble. But, you know, Jesus knew that if we're strong, if we're standing up for the Lord Jesus, then there's going to be some variance. There's going to be some conflicts. There's going to be some trouble. He tells us in verse 35 here in Matthew 10, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Actually, he's quoting from Micah 7, verse 6 there. And then it's explained in verse 37. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, the point being here in verses 37, oh, yes, and even 38 is the need, oh, yes, to put the Lord Jesus above all relationships in this world. Above mother and father, above son and daughters, and you know, against husband or wife, and you know, just be willing to take our cross. And we all have a cross that we must bear. It's made to fit us particularly. And oh yes, by the grace of God, with his help, we can carry it. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, in so denying ourselves, our will, our ambitions, our goals, by laying them down, we find our life in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we find eternal life. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So that's how Jesus related it. And in Acts, the 14th chapter, we see some referrals to how Paul saw persecution. Oh yes, as he was there, this would have been on his first missionary journey, and he'd gone to Antioch of Iconia at the first, or Antioch first of the region there, and then he went on to Iconium. And then, oh yes, he traveled on, and because they were apt to stone him, and he meant that he had to flee. And so he's found at Lystra, and at Lystra they did stone him. And, you know, they left him for dead, they dragged him out to the edge of the city, and the disciples came and prayed for him. They all came and gathered around him, and praise the Lord, a miracle was wrought. Paul rose up, and he was able to come into the city. The Lord brought him back, and it doesn't say distinctly or for sure if he was dead. It says, supposing he had been dead, my thinking is that he most likely was, but regardless, he was stoned, and you know, he was definitely very hurt, and you know, you can't really imagine all the pain and suffering that must have come because of that, and even quite likely dead. But anyway, prayer changes things, and yes, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up. went back into the city, Lystra, and the next day he left with Barnabas, who was his companion on that journey to Derbe. And so he's found, you know, still preaching the gospel. I think many people would give up. They went through such persecution and had to flee for their lives and were stoned and everything else, but Paul never gave up. And in verse 21 here in the 14th chapter of Acts, we read, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," and there they're talking about Derbe, "and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra," the place where he was stoned, "and then to Iconium," where he had to flee because they were talking about stoning him, "and then to Antioch," where also he was persecuted. And there, because he had left disciples, oh, his great desire was to confirm the souls of his disciples. It tells us in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And so, yes, he's telling them it isn't going to be easy. Serving God isn't going to be a bed of roses, so to speak. But oh my, there's going to be some hard things. Yes, we are going to have to take up our cross to follow Jesus. And sometimes that cross gets pretty heavy. It can get pretty hard. Oh yes, there can be suffering. There can be trials. There can be tests. There can be tribulation. And yes, that was one of the points that Paul was making to those that had believed as he was confirming them in the gospel and exhorting them and urging them. You can just imagine, oh my brethren, oh my sisters, I want you to continue in the faith. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let anything get you down. There is a need to continue in the faith. And yes, it is true that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And so verse 23 tells us in this 14th chapter of Acts, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed." Praise the Lord. So yes, we see, oh my, how that all progressed. And if we turn to 2 Thessalonians, oh, let's go first to 2 Timothy in the third chapter here for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here Paul is instructing as he writes to Timothy in verse 10, 11, and 12 here in chapter 3. Of his second epistle to Timothy. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, in Pisidia," that would be, "at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Oh my, that is something else, isn't it? Yes, he'd already gone through that. And he's writing to Timothy, who, you know, fully knew his doctrine, his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, his charity, his patience. And yes, those persecutions, those afflictions, particularly those that had come to him at Antioch, in Pisidia, and in Iconium, and Lystra. And, you know, he says, what persecutions I endured. But look at the second part of the sentence. "But out of them all the Lord delivered me." Oh, praise the Lord, we serve a faithful God. Yes, and then he said, "And yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Oh my, so there it is. And if we do go to 2 Thessalonians and just look for a moment at the first chapter, we see that as he is writing, he begins the second epistle to those at Thessalonica. He says in verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet," or meaning appropriate, "because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Oh, what beautiful compliments, oh, that he could say. You know, they hadn't abandoned the faith. Oh, yes, they were persecuted and afflicted right on there, but they hadn't given up. And their faith was growing. He says, exceedingly. Oh, wow, that's amazing. You know, significantly. Oh, yes, to be noted here. And he says, the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Oh, yes, they had that love, that deep love one for another. And it was evident. Praise the Lord. Those were beautiful compliments that he was able to give them. So he continues in verse 4, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer." Interesting, isn't it? He's saying there that those struggles, those tribulations, oh, those hardships, those persecutions that they had endured and were enduring were actually a token, a manifest token. They were actually evidence of the righteous judgment of God. And oh yes, that they might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Oh, amazing, isn't it? Yes, to be expected, it seems indeed. And we know in the 5th chapter of Romans that we are told that we should glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope that maketh not ashamed. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise the Lord. So there is a reason for hardships, for struggles, for trials, for tests, for tribulations. Romans 12:12 tells us, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So yes, from all these verses, we definitely get the impression that persecutions, tribulations, trials and tests are to be expected when we're serving the Lord Jesus. But oh my, they're going to reap a beautiful end. Oh yes. Oh, because yes, there's going to come that beautiful day when, oh, it will be so worth it all when we see Jesus. Peter wrote in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, praise the Lord. No, it's not easy. Verse 6 in this first chapter of 1 Peter tells us, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In other words, through various testings. Oh my, but oh, praise the Lord. He went on to say that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Oh, yes, the Lord uses it to strengthen us, oh, to make us what we ought to be in Jesus Christ, to establish us. Oh, yes, to give us a strength beyond it, because something about it, you know, when you go through those things, you get stronger in the Lord Jesus. Yes, you know, the devil may try to use it to disrupt us, to hinder us, to cause us to want to turn back, but praise the Lord, if you just work through it by the grace of Jesus Christ, through the faith that he puts in our heart, oh, yes, you're going to be strengthened. You're going to be stronger. Oh, yes, it's going to give you a greater walk with the Lord and a greater determination. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's going to be so worth it when we stand before the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So having said this, let's go now to the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. I went through the first portion the last time I taught, and that's quite an amazing portion of scripture. I don't intend to discuss it a great deal right now, though I have a feeling, you know, we're going to go back to it time and time again because it's very important material. But let's just read through it here at the moment. It says here, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And I mentioned when I was teaching this portion of scripture that, you know, this is what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to be God. He wanted to sit in the place where God is. We find that all recorded in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, you know, and that was his goal. And the devil was that fallen angel called Lucifer, you know, still obviously he has that in mind. And, you know, what he intends to do is use an individual, someone in whom he has put his spirit upon, his ugly spirit, I must say, to attempt to control this world and to be what we call often an antichrist, who would come and be manifested and be revealed and try to bring this world into one order, into one government, and try to control each and every human being. But praise the Lord, God is greater than that, and there's going to be an end to that plot and that plan, as the book of Revelation plainly reveals. And of course, you know, there are others that have attempted to call themselves God, and even in certain religions, you know, there are certain leaders, pontiffs, or whatever you may call them, that may make certain claims, and, you know, even attempt to absolve sin and take on characteristics that only belong to God. And of course, we know that there is an end to that also, praise the Lord, yes. Yes, the city that sits on a hill, or sits on hills, seven hills, you know, it's going to be brought down, Rome, and its religious controlled people there, and that not only control that city, but also control many that live in this world even today. But yes, this is going to be put down. There is that moment when Jesus Christ will come forth. And yes, he came the first time to bring forth salvation, that wonderful plan that he would take our place on the cross, that he would die for our sins, something that no one else could ever do. But he's coming again the second time. Oh yes, he's coming to gather his people home, but he's also coming to judge this world in righteousness. And all those that have opposed him, oh yes, will be put down. Oh yes, their reign, their attempts will be over. And oh yes, there will be more, no more of that. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Oh yes, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that city that's coming down from God out of heaven, that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. So Paul is making some referrals here in this second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and he says in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Obviously a topic that they had discussed. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Yes, because that time when the end would come, and you know, the return of Jesus Christ, and you know, all these other details needed to be fulfilled. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. In other words, that mystery of iniquity, that spirit of iniquity, would be allowed or let until he be taken out of the way. And there I believe that wicked one, that Antichrist, that is, oh yes, coming to assume power that is not his, authority that is not his. Oh yes, to bring the nations together as one world. But oh yes, it's going to end. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and to destroy with the brightness of his coming. Oh yes, when he comes, and every eye is going to see him. And oh yes, all that realization there is, oh, even those that pierced him are going to see him, and all kindreds of this earth are going to wail because of him, because they're going to see him, they're going to understand who he is. There's going to be no questions at that moment. They're going to know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God, and there is none beside him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. So this will come to pass. Amen. And oh, yes, those through their craft and all their so-called power and signs and lying wonders, and all it's described in Revelation, the 13th chapter, verses 13 and 14 in particular. Oh, it's described as, oh yes, this power attempts to work in this world. And you know, Brother Samuel has mentioned many times that with what we're seeing through AI, artificial intelligence, we see how this is so much more possible at this very moment. And I do believe we are seeing the culmination of all things as these things are coming on the scene, and we're beginning to see that great need to look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. But here we are told in verse 10 of this chapter, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Oh, we are to buy the truth and sell it not. Oh, it is that pearl of great price. It is worth everything in this world. And oh, yes, there is a great need that, oh, we live by it, that it be hidden deep in our hearts and that we would not be ashamed of it. You know, Jesus told the Jews that believed on him in John, the 8th chapter in verse 31. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And of course, this was disturbing to those that heard it. And they said, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Oh, they didn't get the point. No, because the freedom that Jesus was talking about is the freedom from sin. Oh, praise the Lord, that freedom that he gives us when we're delivered and we don't have those ugly old sins hanging on our backs anymore. And he answered them in verse 34 here in John 8. John answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. And oh, yes. He's talking about, oh yes, that wonderful freedom from sin. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a privilege it is. We have this privilege to come to Jesus Christ. Oh yes, and to confess our sins. Oh yes, and knowing that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. So, you know, it's told to those that believe the lie of the enemy, those that get their allegiance toward this one who comes, oh, with his false power and his false signs and lying wonders, his craftiness, oh, yes, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Oh, we need to buy that truth and sell it not. It needs to be deeply embedded in us. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Oh my, let's give our lives to the Lord Jesus now. Let's serve him diligently now. Let's give heed to the scripture now, because, oh my, that moment is coming when if we don't have it in our hearts, we could easily be taken over by the deception of the devil. Be taken over by that strong delusion, oh yes, that comes forth, that false, deceptive spirit that comes forth. It's going to take many people down because it's going to sound good to them somehow. Yes, it's going to sound good. It's going to be a lie. It's going to be from the devil, who's the father of lies. A liar from the beginning, we're told. But oh my, if you don't have the truth in your heart, it says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, they continued in their sinful ways. Oh my. But oh yes, as Paul is writing to this church at Thessalonica, he goes on to say in verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And that's a beautiful thing if the Lord has chosen us, you know. You know, Jesus said that, you know, his disciples, they had not chosen him, but he had chosen them. Rather that other way around than the way most people think. And yes, praise the Lord, it's a beautiful thing if God has called us and put that within us to follow Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Peter wrote to the Gentiles that he was writing to in 1 Peter. He told them that they were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing when the Lord calls forth a people and chooses us as his own. A beautiful thing. And oh, yes, that's what Peter was saying to that those churches, those strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia there as he began this epistle in the first chapter of 1 Peter, who he said were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And yes, he talked about sanctification. Yes, when we're sanctified, we're separated. That calling brings us unto a separation where we don't want to be a part of this world. The church is a called out people. We're called out from the world. We're called out of the darkness, as it tells us in 1 Peter, that second chapter. You know, we're called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And yes, he's taken us. He doesn't want us to, do the same things that we used to do before we knew the Lord Jesus. He doesn't want us to continue in our sins, our willful disobedience, because yes, God has called us, he says from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, so that we're set apart. We're consecrated to the Lord as his children, as a holy nation, as his peculiar people, as a royal priesthood, as it's told us there again in 1 Peter, that second chapter, that chosen generation. Oh, praise the Lord. So the Lord calls, and he has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Yes, so we're brought out. Well, you know, we're separated from the world and belief of the truth. And again, that truth, that need for the love of the truth. And of course, you know, Jesus told there in John, the fourth chapter, that need that those that were his children. Oh, yes. Those that were called out, in other words, that they would worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Those would be attributes of the children of God, the called out ones. Yes, he told the woman, the Samaritan woman, he said unto her in verse 21 of John 4, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then that 24th verse, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So this is all a part of our sanctification and our being called out of this world, being chosen from the beginning as the children of the Lord. And he says in verse 14 here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, whereunto he called you by our gospel, See, and we are to make that calling and election sure. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. We want to stay on track. We want to give due diligence to God's word. We want to hide it in our hearts. We want to be that living epistle, oh, that is seen and read of all men. We want to be an appropriate ambassador for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, because he called us out. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, so we want to remember that. And you know, oh, yes, when he appears, oh, yes, the church of the living God with him, there, the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, I believe it is. Oh, my, when it all comes into fruition, it tells us that those that are with him, those that are the called out ones, that they are called and chosen and faithful. Praise the Lord. Revelation 17, verse 14. Amen. Yes, all those characteristics, called first and then chosen, making it clear, and then remaining faithful, yes. Oh, that will all come out. Oh, yes, on that day, praise the Lord, when all the things of this world come to an end. Amen. So it goes on here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And so here he's telling these individuals at Thessalonica the need, oh yes, stand fast. In other words, don't waver. Don't look back. Be firm. Oh yes, stand in the doctrine in which you have been taught. Yes, and you know, there is a need to be discipled, you know, and that was, you know, of importance in the mind of Paul. Yes, it was beautiful to see these people come to the Lord Jesus, but they needed to be established in the word. And yes, there were traditions that they needed to hold fast. And, you know, traditions of the New Covenant Church. Oh, yes, apart from that of the Old Covenant. So yes, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Oh yes, he's putting significance on this need. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of people who really don't want to be discipled. You know, it's something because, you know, sometimes you come across people, you know, they want to walk with the Lord and they want to be right, but they don't really want to be taught in God's word. They want to just figure it out all themselves. And you know, they think you are whatever they have in their own backgrounds and understanding is sufficient. But oh my, Paul put a great deal of emphasis in their need to be discipled. And we see that the first epistle there to that church at Thessalonica, you could see his concern. You know, he wasn't able to stay with them very long at first because of all the persecutions, but he wanted them to be established in the word. He wanted it to be in their heart. And he, you know, those things that they had been taught, whether it was by word, his teachings when he was with them in person, or if it was by letter, by epistle. Epistles are letters, amen. There would be importance in both ways. And yes, he was emphasizing it here, that 15th verse. And so he goes on as this chapter is coming to an end. He says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, Oh, praise the Lord, and consolation. Oh, that comfort that he gives us here. Oh, yes, you know, that hope we have in our hearts, knowing that God is with us. God knows how to help us. God is faithful. Oh, yes, he knows how to bring us through this world, and that's a wonderful consolation that we have. And he calls it an everlasting consolation in the 16th verse. And he talks about that good hope through grace, oh, that unmerited favor that God has bestowed upon us, nothing that we could deserve, no matter of works, or no matter of works that we could do in order to obtain it. But praise the Lord, yes, that wonderful hope that is in our heart because of what Jesus did for us. And so he says, as he's ending this chapter, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Oh, I see that great desire of Paul, too, that they would be established, oh, in every good word and work. Oh, yes, that the truth would be embedded deep within their very beings. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That they would have an understanding that comes from God. Praise the Lord. You can see it also expressed in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I'd like to go there and read a little bit here from Ephesians chapter 4. And of course, this is addressed to the church at Ephesus, another church that, you know, Paul was very concerned with. And here he explains, if we go to verse 11 here, Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he puts these leadership positions in front of us so that, you know, we can be perfected in the word. Praise the Lord, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So yes, the ministry can continue and go on. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, you know that great need to be built up and to be established in the word. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. So God gave some apostles, people that are called forth to do a work, like missionaries even, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, yes, yes, that we wouldn't live in confusion and perplexity. That, oh, yes, we wouldn't be divided. The word of God is not divided. The church is not divided as it appears to be today. No, God knows those that are his. And oh yes, he would bid all that are his to come out, to depart from iniquity. Amen. And oh yes, there's a need. Oh yes, to be established in the truth. Oh, yes, to go to that place, you know, and Jude talked about it. He talked about that need there in that third verse of his epistle, Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And even then he was concerned, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, you know, if it was true back then, how about now? When, oh yes, there is so much confusion, oh, so many ways of thinking, but oh my, it's not supposed to be like that. It says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Oh, we want to receive that maturity. We want to be that person that isn't tossed to and fro, you know, thinking one way one moment and another way the next. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We want to be established in the doctrine. Be established in the truth, which is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, yes, as we conclude this second chapter here of 2 Thessalonians, I'd just like to read one more portion of scripture before we end here tonight. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And we're told here Peter is writing, and he is saying in that 10th verse, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we're going to suffer tribulation in this world. And oh, yes, Jesus Christ knew what that was like. Paul knew what that was like. We are told all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, yes, and we know that we are going to be misunderstood. The enemy is going to rise up at times. Oh, that they're going to try, oh my, to take advantage of us, to destroy us if they can. But praise the Lord, we've got something so great. We've got a truth that the Lord has given us, a truth that is found in his word. Oh yes, the foundation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we must stand on. Oh, it's rooted, it's grounded, oh, it's strong. Oh, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We want that love of the truth deep in our hearts. We want to know it. We want to live it. We want to be true to it. We want to buy it and sell it not. Praise the Lord. We want to stand at it because, oh yes, that moment is coming. And the deception of the enemy, of the devil, the working of Satan is going to be so strong and so powerful that if the truth is not deep in our hearts, embedded deep down inside, we could easily fall. We could be given over to that strong delusion, that strong lie, the deception that the devil is going to send forth, that's going to deceive so very many. Oh, it says that they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But praise the Lord, rather let's be as though You know, those that Paul was admonishing to stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. As he ended again this chapter, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As Peter said it, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish. Or in other words, established, strengthened, and settled. Praise the Lord. So we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. Oh, get to that place of maturity, oh, where it's solid in our hearts. Praise the Lord, and we can stand all that need to stand in the evil day. Oh, to be strong against the wiles of the devil and all the perplexities and deceptions of this world, to know the word of God and to have it hidden in our hearts. Praise the Lord, to know that truth and to be established in it by the grace and mercy of our God. Amen. Oh yes, established in every good word and work. Praise the Lord, by his grace and his mercy, let it be us. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Let it be us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hide it in our hearts, Lord. Help us to know what thy word does declare. Oh, God, let it give us that strength. Let it give us that hope. Oh God, let it be embedded in us, Lord, so that we do not fall, so we are not hindered, Lord, so we know in whom we have believed. And oh God, that no persuasion would take us away from thy love, from thy word, from thy truth. Put it within us, Lord, and establish us regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of trouble and tribulation and trials and tests. Put it deep within us, Lord, oh God, and help us to stand. Help us to be true. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 52 and sing Standing on the Rock of Ages, number 52. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of
Thank you.